Oh, I love this topic of reincarnation. It's something that a lot of people are really interested in, and there are a lot of misunderstandings around it, and people wonder, is this part of unity theology or not? And actually, the Fillmores believed in reincarnation. They were very much a part of that whole New Thought movement that included many, many different traditions, but they didn't want anything to become a strict doctrine within unity. The whole point of unity is to allow each soul to grow and to evolve through whatever path it chooses. And so you'll discover, if you don't know yet, unity has very little formal theology, very little dogma. You must believe this. One of the things I like about it. Otherwise, I found myself being frequently called a heretic, which I now take as a compliment. It means I'm thinking outside the box and I'm trying to look past the outer appearance into the spirit of things. Reincarnation means the pre-existence of the soul, that it existed before it took that first breath and came in. And I would say it also represents the post-existence of the soul, that after you die, that goes on. Your soul comes in, has this earthly experience, and then releases and goes back to spirit. I've believed that ever since I was a very small child. And going through the kinds of work I've done over the years, it's done nothing but reinforce that. My sister had a very late miscarriage, and I helped her, blessed the baby, went down to the chapel to cry, and that spirit came to me and said, "I'm going to try again." I knew exactly who he was, what he felt like. And a year and a half later, when she gave birth to Alex, I looked in his eyes and he and I made eye contact. And as they carried him from the delivery room to the nursery, he and I did not break eye contact. I knew it was him. When my mother was dying, I felt my dad. I knew his spirit had come to be there with her. And she told me, she said, "Pam, your whole life you've been able to connect with my dad, your granddad who died. You've had experiences with the souls of people in all different kinds of ways." And she said, "Oh, I wish I could do that." And I said, "Well, just ask Daddy to come and just see what happens." I go to the house. She says, "Pam," she said, "your dad came." She said, "I know what you're talking about now." She said, "It was like he was right here." And I said, "Did he have a message for you?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "I've been waiting a long time. Will you please hurry up?" And he was there. I told her, "You will go in one breath from my arms into the arms of Daddy and Spirit." I can't imagine anything else. Having been a nurse for many years and a hospital chaplain as well, I've been blessed to be at that portal where you're in a room and a baby takes a first breath and suddenly there's a whole nother person present. Or where I've been with someone that takes that last breath and you feel them go, and what's left behind is a small shell that they abided in, but the essence of who they are has broken free. Most of the world believes in reincarnation and the eternality of the soul. Charles Fillmore said this: "The Western world in general looks upon re-embodiment or reincarnation as a heathen doctrine. Many people close the door of their minds upon it without waiting to find out what message it brings when interpreted in the light of truth." He said he believes that one of the great gifts of Jesus was he taught us to really get what eternal spiritual beings we were. That's why we go through the Christmas experience of him being born in body, him having a whole lively experience, and then the Easter message, which is that there is a part of us that transcends death. Louis E. Mayer, who wrote a little booklet called Reincarnation for Unity back in the 50s, said repeated incarnations are a mercy and an opportunity. Death is the dissolution of the body, but not of the soul and spirit. Those are reborn. So our soul's goal is to come into God consciousness, into Christ consciousness, sensing the oneness of everything and all. And Fillmore said that this is divine mercy that gives you many opportunities to learn how to embody a Christed life. I don't know about you all, but I think I needed more than one try to figure out how to do this. Life is infinite variety. One of the things I love when I travel is to go, if I'd been born in that little village in France, what would my life have been like? We each could have been born wealthy, poor, somewhere in the middle. We could have been born in India or Africa or Europe or the United States, South America, Russia. All of that affects who we are and what the soul chose to experience as it came in. In the original church, the Jewish tradition out of which Jesus came, both the Pharisees and the Essenes believed in reincarnation. Origen, the great church father, believed absolutely in the pre-existence and continued existence of the soul. He was found guilty of heresy because he said, if you can connect with the divine in this life, then when you go back to spirit, why should that door be closed? So he said, you can find spiritual growth continued on the other side of the portal that is, quote, life and death. And he said, why couldn't you meet the Christed being, the man Jesus, in spirit and accept it there? And the church said, no, you have to go through us. You have to pay your money. You have to get your hall pass. You have to do things the way we think is right. And that was done not to make life impossible or difficult. It was a group of people trying to preserve the beauty and power of this message in the best way they could. That's why I love Unity so much. When I found Unity, they said it's like going back to first century Christianity in a lot of ways. There are a number of different things around reincarnation. It probably existed in the scriptural writings until the Council of Nicaea and the Second Council of Constantinople. Prior to that, it was just considered part of how you viewed life. It's neither stated nor denied in the Bible. It's not mentioned one way or the other, but there are a number of signs that point to it. There's a story where he talks to the centurion and says, you must be born again in spirit and in truth. Be born again. And that means, we've talked about this a Sunday or two ago, and it's not just the physical body, but it's your consciousness, where you are in the world, and that you can be reborn in this lifetime. One of the things I found is that many, many of us this time around are having multiple lifetimes in this one. We've had different careers, different places we live, different partners. I can see three very distinct lives that I've somehow managed to cram into this one so far. And it's because our souls are moving forward. We talk about the quantum speed with which the world is moving. And I think we're being given opportunities to be born again multiple times in this physical embodiment. What a blessing. In Matthew, in two places, Jesus said John the Baptist was Elijah. The soul of Elijah returned as John the Baptist. In the book of Melchizedek, in the Nag Hammadi, it says that Melchizedek, who was the priest king of Salem, which becomes Jerusalem, he's the one to which Abraham pays the 10%. That's where tithing comes from. He honored Melchizedek, the priest king, as he comes through that area. In the existing scripture, it says Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, but in the book of Melchizedek, in the Nag Hammadi, it said Jesus is the same soul that was Melchizedek. The wonderful story of the man born blind. Whose fault was it? Was it his or his parents? Well, if you didn't believe he'd had some existence prior to this, how could he possibly have caused it? So there are little hints all through. And when you look at the time period and the general beliefs of the time period, and even the beliefs in our world today, more people believe in reincarnation than don't. Emmett Fox, who's one of my favorite metaphysical writers, says this: what is customarily called a lifetime is really but a comparatively brief day in a long, long life. This is the most glorious truth and the most wonderful and beautiful thing you could ever discover. It is the door of liberation. It is your charter of freedom, your passport to fullness of life. It means nothing less than your destiny is in your own hands, and you may determine that destiny. You may really make your future life, beginning today, the sort of thing you wish it to be. And he called Jesus Christ as the Lord of Karma, the overcomer of all. Personally, I've had remembrances since I was a very small child of what feels like past lives. But I'm not attached to that. It's possible that I've connected to some other eternal soul through the Akashic records that's had an experience, and that I get to connect and learn from what they learned. It may be that my soul is giving me an archetypal picture and story to help me understand my soul growth. It may be an actual physical embodiment. It may be an imaginal embodiment. And I'll tell you right now, for me, I don't care which one it is. It feels very real, but if it's a spiritual awareness, I welcome it. And always have. One of the things that I did one time at Sparrowhawk Village, I did a past life experience. And as I was coming out, I went back to World War II, was surprised because I was in a nun's habit. I thought, I didn't think I was a nun in that lifetime. Interesting. Well, I was wearing it to carry papers, because part of my family was Jewish and part of it was Catholic. And I had snuck into the convent school and taken a habit to hide the papers under. So I go do that, and that's part of this remembrance that I had. And then toward the end, she said, okay, let's leave that lifetime. And I started to go back into another one. And she said, no, come forward. One at a time is enough. And so as I came forward, I ended up in this realm. And it's what Michael Newton in Journey of Souls calls the realm between lives. We actually studied Journey of Souls, and then the second book that was, is it Wisdom of Souls? There are two books that he's written, and it's about the realm between lives and how our souls make choices and process. And so I found myself in that with a circle of light beings, and we went through my lifetime, and I talked and we processed. I knew who in this lifetime was back there, who they were, what the lesson was, how it had played out in this lifetime. And they just were these light beings. They kind of had faces, but not. It's really hard to define, but they were loving and accepting and wonderful. And so we finished up and they said, okay, are you all right now? You ready to be complete with this process? with your circle of light? And I was like, no, I'm not. And they said, what is it? Is there something else? And I said, yes, I did something really awful. They said, well, what was it? What's so heavy on your soul? And I said, I dressed up like a nun and I wasn't one. I'm sure I'm going to go to hell. And they, as a group, they laughed and then they spun in place. All of them spun in place. And when they finished spinning, I looked up and they were all dressed in nuns' habits. And they said, it didn't matter what you wore, it mattered what you did and why. And with that, whew, I was back in my body again. And the lady who was leading it said, where in the world did you go? And I told her, she said, I've never had anybody go there. She said, that's amazing. And then many years later, I find Michael Newton's book. And we had such a good book study, maybe we'll bring it back again, that we went through both books at a book study group. He says this, the purpose of reincarnation is the exercise of free will. Karmic destiny means we are not caught up in events over which we have no control. It means we have karmic lessons and responsibilities. The law of cause and effect for our action always exists. But whatever happens to us in life, it is important for us to understand that our happiness and pain is not reflected on a blessing or a betrayal on the part of God. We are masters of our own destiny. Fillmore says this possibility of reincarnation and everything it brings is something that is this incredible gift, that every day is a new day, that as much as you learn in this lifetime, you don't have to learn it all in one. There's a beautiful scripture that's in John that we talked about Sunday before last briefly. In my home are many mansions and many rooms. That's one potential reference to other realms and other lifetimes. Andrew Harvey in The Direct Path says that each and every one of us is an eternal spiritual being born with the direction and intention of our consciousness. It's essential to remember, however, that karma, which simply means the law of cause and effect, is not something irrevocably fixed. Every choice we make, every thought we think, every action we take causes new effects. Just as the universe is in constant dynamic change, so are we. And so, therefore, is our destiny. So it's about becoming awake to our divine nature and learning to manifest it. He says, we're the architects of our fate in and under the divine. The Buddha said this, karma creates like an artist and composes like a dancer. Isn't that beautiful? When we think of karma, so often we think of something negative. But it is, as Jesus says, I come not to abolish the law, but to uplift it. The law of cause and effect, of karma, is part of the life experience in this realm that we call Earth. But he reminds us that this is also a spiritual experience and a soul journey. And he said that law exists, but you can lift it up to a higher level. And the thing that most easily helps us do that is to love. Because when we love someone, we can forgive, we can empathize, we can understand and allow someone else to go through what they need to go through for the unfolding of their soul. I love what Emmett Fox says. Most of the trouble in our lives is not caused by karma at all, but by lack of wisdom in the present moment. The conditions in which you begin your life were karmic, but your everyday experience is made by yourself as you go along. I believe that before we come in, I don't think we have this detailed contract. It's not done by lawyers. It's done by angels. And that we agree that there are certain things we want to learn and experience and give and receive, and different ways to learn how to love. And that the life we experience helps us recognize the presence of the divine in places we never thought we would find it. And we get to practice loving and being loved that lets us come into wholeness and life come into oneness at new and powerful levels in, through, and as us. I don't think it says that on such and such a date you're going to do this or that you have to go through this career. I think it's here is your lesson, here is your calling, your point of service, and then you get to find your way along the path. I know many of you know I speak of my brother Doug, who was born profoundly multi-handicapped and lived most of his life in the state school. But before he was sent away, I was about 2.5 or 3. And when I was in ministerial school, I remembered this conversation with him. We were sitting on the bed at my grandparents' house in Lufkin, and which is where we love to eat Cheetos together, by the way. And he said, I'm going to be sent away soon. And he said, I've been your master in many, many lifetimes, but in this one, it's time for me to bless you and initiate you, and you must find your own path of service. I started crying instantly. I can't do that. No, you've got to stay with me. I'm not ready to do it by myself yet. And he said, you're ready. They're going to be sending me away soon, but I'll always be with you. We'll be connected in heart, and I will be sending you blessings from afar. And that's exactly what happened. My life of service began as a special ed teacher teaching multiply handicapped children like my brother. Much to my father's dismay, when it was time to go back to school, I didn't get a master's and a PhD in the same area like you were supposed to. I went and got a nursing degree and then blended the two, and I did rehabilitation with adults and children that had severe illnesses and injuries, either acutely or chronically. I traveled the country training nurses to help them do that. My dad, when I came to the point, I said, you know, I think I may go to Unity Village and study. I might become a licensed teacher. My dad, who was an atheist, basically, because he'd been brought up strict Southern Baptist and said, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with it, looked at me and he said, I thought you were nuts when you switched fields. He said, you weren't. You were following your heart and your path. And he said, if this is your path, you have my blessings. Huge thing. And then I got to be with him as he died. I got to become my brother's caregiver and his legal guardian the last several years of his life. At 2:30, 2:45 in the morning one night, I woke up and I sat up in bed and I knew he was no longer in his body. He visited. He was in our bedroom and he was free of a body that didn't work. And Lane rolled over and said, what are you doing? I was sitting up 2:45 in the morning, and I said, Doug just passed, and he came to visit. And he's free, and he's happy. And he said, okay. And then the phone rings, and it's the chaplain. I'm so sorry to wake you up in the middle of the night. And I said, I was already awake. Doug's already been here. He died at, and I gave a time. And the chaplain said, just a moment, and went and checked the records. He said, that's exactly when he took his last breath. His soul journeyed from Texas to our bedroom here in Port Townsend. With all of those things, how could I not believe in the eternality of the soul and in at least the possibility of reincarnation? I have no doubt, I've been here 20 years now, I have no doubt that we all, when we were in spirit, said, hey, at some point I'll meet you in Port Townsend. We're going to regather together and do this spiritual work together. And I believe that with all of my heart. When I was meditating on reincarnation and karma a few years ago, I came up with this, the word karma. Normally, I don't like little catchy things, but this one was so clear, and I thought, I've got to share it. Karma, keep aware, real miracles abound. Karma, keep aware, real miracles abound. That is the deepest lesson of all. And to close with the words of Wordsworth, one of my favorite passages. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God who is our home. Yay, it's right. Yay, thank you, God, three times. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, I got to talk about reincarnation today. This is, you can tell it's something I love, and it is definitely a part of unity if you choose to incorporate it in how you process and interpret the presence of the divine in your life. So whatever's going on, keep aware, real miracles abound. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet spirit. Oh, how we must have known each other in another realm to come together with such depth of love and service and caring for one another. We give thanks for all of the soul journeys of everyone who's been a part of our lives, past, present, and future. And we give thanks that we can grow in an awareness that we truly are experiencing a soul journey in this realm, and that wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.